Okay, it's 5:30, so I'm going to call this meeting to order. This is the February 6th meeting of the Story County Planning and Zoning Commission. Let's call a roll call, please.
Eller. Miller.
Here.
Weigel. Struthers.
Here.
Beggy.
Here.
Couser.
Here.
Merfeld.
Here.
Gast absent.
Okay. Have you all had a chance to read over the minutes from our last meeting? And if so, is there a motion to approve the minutes as they stand?
So moved.
Okay. Moved by Merfeld. Seconded by Nancy Couser. Any discussion? All those in favor of the minutes standing as printed, say aye. Aye. Opposed? Okay. And I'll sign those after the meeting. Okay. We have an agenda in front of us here. Looks like kind of a, well, in one sense a light agenda, in another sense a heavy agenda, but any additions or subtractions or corrections to the agenda as it reads? Okay, hearing none, we'll move on. This is the time for public comments. I don't know, I think we'll pass on the public comments, meaning it looks like nobody from the public here. And so there's no old business, and so that takes us right into new business. And with that, we have on the first thing is Ordinance 01-12, Story County Land Development Regulations Review. And I think what we have here is some revisions to the ordinance. We'll turn it over to Ms. Harder.
Okay. What's before you tonight is the first of two meetings that staff will be bringing forward changes to the land development regulations. We're doing it in two chunks, not because they're major changes, for a couple reasons. One, the ones before you tonight are really what staff use as housekeeping items. And so we want to just get those, get them taken care of, but not take those to the Board of Supervisors until you've had a chance to look at everything in total. In March, what you'll have before you are the proposed revisions to the 35-acre minimum requirement, another exception. Not doing away with the 35-acre minimum, but looking at some alternatives. And to be honest, we're still wrestling with that. We have an idea out there that I'm talking to some surveyors about, getting their feedback. I really want to try and get some level of buy-in, I guess you could say, from those that are most affected, from the surveying end, as well as trying to sue Vandekamp, the county recorder, and take in the interagency review team. So having this extra month will give us that time to maybe get embedded a little bit, at least internalize it a little bit, and then bring it forward to you for the public review. Again, tonight's are relatively straightforward. Before you did have comments that were emailed by both Daryl as well as Steve Gast, and I'll talk about those as we go along as well. They're being brought forward in accordance with Chapter 15, the amendments, and for some reason the text is going off the screen. But it is Section 15.30, procedure for amending the text that staff follows. I just explained this, how we're doing it in two different sections. And again, to reiterate, we're not asking for any action tonight, just some feedback. You know, look at this staff as well, bring it back at the March meeting. We've never really done it in two segments, and sometimes it's, even from the staff level, we feel that there have been some perhaps more major changes that we've implemented that maybe if we would have done in a couple of sections, we would have understood the changes a little bit better and the ramifications. Going into it, starting out, first of all, Daryl, do you want me to go by each change, or should I just open the floor for comments and questions?
How long do you think it would take to run through each change?
At least 20 hours. I can do it in 5 minutes. I can get a glass over it.
Can you hit the ones that might seem to be kind of a major thing? And
I will.
Or the most major, at least.
Well, I'll start right there with Chapter 1, then. That's the General Provisions Chapter of the Land Development Regulations. Looking at Section 1.70, the exemptions. What we want to do is clarify, one, in this to begin with, that even though you're exempt from the county zoning per se, the state code does not extend that exemption to the floodplain management ordinance. kind of muddled up in the way it was worded, so that's why you see that first exemption saying, or the first statement saying, but you're not exempt from the floodplain management ordinance. And then it was, when we read the agricultural exemption language, it was just redundant, and so we just took that out and made it, tried to make it more straightforward and as simple as it can. Really, when you read the state code of language, this reads mostly identical to state code language. Then going on to Chapter 2 definitions, we look at amending the definitions. You'll see a lot of instances throughout the regulations where we've added the word environmental. When we've been talking about the health department, they are now the environmental health department. Just like we had to change our name, change our regulations in November to reflect planning and development, same thing here. Then specifically, we remove the comma after dwelling unit. I said a lot of this is housekeeping items. On the definition of junk or salvage yard, and junk vehicles, we tried to make that a little bit more descriptive of the types of materials that we've been dealing with enforcement since the mid-1990s. Looked at a lot of what other jurisdictions have in Iowa. And, for instance, the junk vehicles definitions, we don't have one right now. And that has caused us some issues when we've gone to enforce on what is truly a junk and salvage yard. One other key change to that is clarifying that they are permitted in certain instances when you either get a conditional use permit or it's zoned accordingly. So we don't outright disallow junk and salvage yards, but there is a process to go through. I think that might be reflecting of the evolution we're going to take with our enforcement program and so trying to set the ground for that. Just changing some cleanup to the definition of flag lot. Mobile home park, and this was one that Steve had a comment about. It had language such as harbored, and I'm not even sure what harbored means. It just brought to mind that we're talking about something that really is not a mobile home park, and just recommend making it more clear, just saying when it's used for residential purposes. And we can talk about Steve's comments when we're done. Permit, just it talks about, just simply saying it's the applicant rather than the language that's used. Right now we say holder thereof, just put simply applicant in. Sign permit, we've been processing these as zoning permits for the past couple of years. We no longer have a sign permit, so we're just saying take that out. It's not necessary. Street had, this is reflective of, we copy and paste from either other jurisdictions or this dictionary, planner's dictionary. It said office of the county recorder and went on to say prior to the appointment of a planning board and a grant to such blah, 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 it's not necessary. It should have been taken out initially when we put the definition of street in and just poor editing on staff's part. And then use, principal, we already defined principal use. So we didn't need it in there twice, especially when they had two different definitions. And principal use just seemed to flow better in the text. Any questions on the definitions? Going on, Chapter 6, this is our land subdivision chapter. We want to remove all the requirements that we say E911 addresses will be shown in the face of the plat. Honestly, the process is such that if someone comes in and there's an address already assigned on the face of the plat and they change the driveway or whatever, that address that was originally assigned may need to change. So therefore, you're needing to amend something that's been officially documented on the face of the plat. It's a lot easier. We don't, by Iowa code, have to have those on the face of the plat. They're tied to issuance of the zoning permit anyway, or someone can just simply request the E911 address. We've been doing it this way for 3 years now. We've been recommending to you just waive that requirement, just operationalizing our practices. Also removing the requirement for the affidavit conformance to ordinance number 110. This is the health department regulation. In conversations with Margaret James, their program manager, They're not really comfortable all the time signing the affidavit. In some cases, there may be additional studies that need to be done. So we're just simply removing the reference to that and just saying approval by the Story County Health Department. And that may be in some form of if you have a study done and you provide this and this and this, we'll be able to support the subdivision. Then, again, revising the name of Story County Environmental Health. And then, lastly, specifically in Chapter 6, we need to get away from the terminology of the 100 and 500-year floods. When we're talking about floodplain and floodplain management, the 100-year flood is actually a 1% chance flood. And so you'll see that as a change in here. Chapter 7, removing the application for time permit out of the list of development applications that we process. Again, we've been doing zoning, straight zoning permits. Chapter 10, I know this is something Stephen had a comment on too, in the table of conditional uses in Chapter 10, we currently have churches, simply add and or similar uses. Charlie brought this to our attention because really when you look at the RLUPA, which is the acronym for a mouthful, Religious Land Use and Institutionalized Persons Act. It's a federal act that says thou shalt not place further restriction on religious land uses than you do others, basically. Which there have been a lot of court cases throughout the past 10 years. Has it been around that long? It's 2001. A lot of court cases, including Story County, was sued on an RLUPA charge over the Campus Baptist Church. If you just single out churches, you need to add something that it's not just churches, it's similar uses. Chapter 12, remove the section 12.60, zoning compliances, that says when you when there's a property when there's a property that's not in conformance, our department will issue a certificate of zoning compliance. We've issued less than a dozen in the past 13 some years. And actually, just the idea of nonconformities, and specifically that Chapter 12, is to have these exist, but eventually have them be gone away with and have them either cease to exist or be done in accordance with the regulations. It doesn't seem right that we're issuing a certificate of zoning compliance saying, yeah, you comply with the zoning regulations that were in effect in 1959. That could be kind of confusing to the person to whom that's issued and future property owners. A lot easier to just do away with it. Lastly, Chapter 17, we would like to build in to our internal process that before we issue a zoning permit, we'll get approval by the health department that water and septic can be provided on the site. Sometimes we're getting the cart before the horse and granting a zoning permit for a house, and they're getting out there and doing site work. They've disturbed the site so much that they can't put a conventional system in, running up the cost of housing. A multitude of different issues have arisen over the past couple of years. When I come back to you in March, I might have more information on this one because I got an email from Margaret James today. I emailed her for her input. This is something I've been debating for probably a couple of years, how we can work more closely on and coordinating our permit review. She's wondering if it just would apply if someone was maybe increasing the number of bedrooms or changing something structurally on a property or adding a new structure, or if it could even apply if someone was coming in and putting up an accessory building. They're not going to be connected to sewer or water, so the health department has no record of septic on the site. And could this be the trigger to then demand a septic on site? We need some legal advice on that one. But again, you're not taking action tonight, and this is just to be able to get some of the issues out there. So I'll have more information on that one, on how far we can actually go on our end on enforcing the health department regulations, because that gets a little bit gray to me in that regard. But if someone definitely is increasing the number of bedrooms in the house, and their septic is not sized accordingly to handle that, that is part of the general health, public health and safety, health, safety, and general welfare. And so that is where we should closely coordinate. Took longer than 5 minutes. Do you have questions?
Yes. Good time for questions, comments.
I've got two. One, could you tell me more about vehicles on a property, and also enforcement program? What all does that entail?
I'll start with the second part, and be honest, I don't know right now.
Enforcement? You don't know?
Enforcement. We are going to be redesigning our enforcement program. The Board of Supervisors in this past budget cycle, this current budget cycle in which we are in, chose to cut our code enforcement position. That's a good time for me to tell you about some staff changes real quick. They've cut our code enforcement position, and they're actually taking Kristen to halftime planning and development. The other halftime will be health department. So we are going from 5 full-time employees down to 3.5. Snap our fingers. So we're going to have to reinvent ourselves when we come to enforcement. That being said, though, we still have a number of properties that have been identified through the county-wide assessments, and just when Sheena was here, Sheena Dan, for the past couple of years, that do need some enforcement to occur. And so that'll be divided up between myself and 2 planners. What that's going to look like, we don't know, but we do know the definition of junk and salvage, yard, and junk vehicles has been lacking for years.
So I understand it. So if a family or a person in in the unincorporated area, and they've got in excess of 3 junk, non-operating, which is the definition of junk, according to what I read, non-operating vehicles in their yard, if they got more than 3, then they're
technically called, and they don't have, it's not a conditional use permit,
right,
or a zone right. A1, they're technically a junk or salvage yard.
So what, can you give me an idea, what would you do about it?
We would, when we had a code enforcement officer, we would issue, well, we first thought reach out to them and just say, hey, here's the regulations, would you, before we issue the official notice of violation, you're in excess of the regulations, schedule a site visit, let's see what can be done. In a lot of cases, if it's that 4 and they're doing it to maybe repair another car, we've not looked the other way, but we've had some room to on the staff level to negotiate and set some time frames. They just totally disregard, and it is an accessible issue, notice of violation. They have 30 days to clean it up or else submit schedule compliance once it's cleaned up, or if it is cleaned up, we issue a proof of compliance. If it's not cleaned up and totally disregards the notice of violation, they can issue a citation. We have not done that for a citation since 1999, I think was the last one, simply because we've I don't know how to answer, go further with that. We haven't had the right support we've needed to do that with our enforcement program. All the pieces and players haven't been present we've needed. I think what this might do, though, is give us some more ways to have that negotiation than what we've had. I mean, it adds some clarity for what junk is by having that definition, junk vehicles, especially by having that 90 days mark, too. If someone says, hey, I just bought this, I'm going to use it to get the seat belts to replace in this car because it's a 93 and they no longer make the replacement parts. Okay, as long as you have that done within 90 days and that vehicle's off, we're good.
What other questions we have? Comments, even?
If we can achieve, and throughout enforcement history, and the first code enforcement program plan that was put in place in Troy County was in 1998. Before then, it was all done. It was done internally by staff. We didn't have an official position. That's where we'll have to go back and craft it anew. That we have built our case, and we've always sought to achieve voluntary compliance. And we've had a really good success with voluntary compliance. That being said, we've had a handful that are ones that, unless we actually go through an official enforcement citation process, the property will remain as is. And in that case, we do need some assistance.
As I read through this, I shot my questions off to you this morning, but it looks like generally just making some things more clear and some things easier is what I could see.
And you all have a copy of this email in front of you, too. Stephen Gass did.
I don't think we do.
No, we don't have a copy of any email.
Can't read it.
First thing he commented on was the comma between dwelling and unit. He was thinking we were adding one, and I did respond to his email too, and tell him that was just the way it showed up. It just was fixing that mistake that's been there forever. He added some addition. On junk or salvage, found there was some redundancy with word junked. And then under junk or salvage yard, he recommended changing junk vehicles to junk vehicles, which, yeah, that would be in line. We, instead of defining as junk vehicles, we junk without the ED. Then commented that junk vehicles should not be in all caps in the definition, and that was just simply getting it written. That would be part of our cleanup. On the second page of Stephen's email, page 20, mobile home park, his comment was whether residential use is defined somewhere. I don't believe we do, but he just asked, is this the same as a common English phrase used as a residence? Should a defined technically term be used as located as a dwelling unit? And from staff's perspective, we were going for what we deemed to be the most clear way to say it, and definitely getting away from harbored for use as a single-family detached one-story residence and clarifying that. So even just saying used as a residence is more clear than what it is right now. And then under churches, under similar uses, he states, what does the added language include, which was not included under the definition of a church, which we do define in the ordinance. And then going further, the concern was to ensure the reader understood that church included temple, synagogue, tabernacle, mosque, and other places of worship and accessory buildings, then wouldn't it be clear to change the definition of church to place of worship and do a global replacement of church and churches with place of worship or place of worship? It's just place of worship and churches, religious land uses. Yeah. No. I'm trying to think of federal code. I mean, that's something we could review, too. Again, there's no action before you this evening.
I think Stephen's given you his input on that. Good. Anything else?
Anything that you've seen that you'd like us to look at before March, other than the 35-acre minimum requirement, the exceptions on the books right now?
That'll probably be enough. Okay. Thank you, Leanne. And I imagine between now and then you'll still take input. Okay. So before we go any further, there's something I was neglectful in doing, and that would be in welcoming Nancy Miller to the commission here. I've known Nancy for a long time. I'm going to say for probably 30-some years. We used to work together. And I know Nancy and her husband Jim live out in the county, and Nancy's probably been known to be an activist here with the county government. So, welcome to the commission. Charlie, you got to talk us through on the CPAT?
Sure, why not? I'm not sure. I think we've tried to keep the commission in the loop throughout this process. But, you know, when we had the new board take their positions last January, about a year ago now, almost 13 months, I would say. But one of their goals was to have the county have a more active role in economic development, obviously more than what the county had been doing prior to them taking seat. So going through a quick timeline, just maybe summary of what we've done to date. You know, after that time, about a year ago today, the Board of Supervisors directed our office to apply for the Community Planning Assistant Team Initiative through the American Planning Association in an effort to develop an economic development strategic plan. In September, we had an APA staff member and a team leader for the CPET, Mr. Wayne Fiden. They traveled to Story County for a preliminary visit of the county. During that visit, it was a two-day visit. We drove them through each of the cities, had them meet with the board of supervisors, and had multiple focus group meetings with some stakeholders in the county. I think Stephen at that one was Stephen Gass was involved in that. I think we invited Daryl as chair of the Planning and Zoning Commission, and you weren't able to attend, so I think Stephen attended in your place. Regardless, after that, about a month later, the full team, which was a five-member team altogether, arrived in Story County, and we're here from a Sunday till Thursday. During that time, the rest of the team kind of got a little bit of a scaled-down version of the tour of the county, just some key areas, more focus group meetings. We had a few public input meetings, and then the group gave a final presentation in the Ames City Council chambers. Main reason we had it there was just because of the recording abilities that the council chambers have over there, and I think we did get it rebroadcast a few times on Ames Public Access, as well as some of the stations that the Huxley City broadcast to. I think Cambridge, Slater, and Huxley were the three cities that they broadcast to. So hopefully we got the word out there to the public and got some feedback on that. So with that, I know that the plan itself, it's a long plan. I don't know how many of you have had a chance to look through it in its entirety, but hopefully you got a good feeling for what they are recommending in there, and we thought it would be a good time just to bring this forward to the commission and kind of go through it. And this is the same presentation we gave to the Board of Supervisors when we first received the report back, and at the end of the presentation I'll kind of go through and explain what our next steps are. So with that, the report mentions that and I'll call it the CPET, that's the Community Planning Assistance Team, it's just the acronym for it, but the CPET did recognize that economic development and quality of life are interwoven together. They did note that business location and expansion decisions are based on financial feasibility, but the quality of life is often a major part of those final decisions. And then they bulleted some areas that I've listed on the screen here above, including walkable around towns, safety, rec, clean air and water, some local food stuff, education, and also strong sense of place, just to name a few. They did again mention that any economic development strategy in Story County should reflect on a quality of life in addition to providing jobs, economic activity, and an improved tax base. The CPET did recommend strategic efforts and investments in four broad areas to help support improved economic development and quality of life. Those four areas included vision and long-range planning, strategic partnerships and investments, trails, recreation, and other quality of life issues, and finally, county planning organizations. And real quick, what they did then from here is they provided a bunch of subcategories under each of those four broad areas. I'll kind of go through and explain each one of their recommendations. On the end here, you'll kind of see a time frame that they include. Just take note of that at the end of the presentation. I'll kind of summarize what that time frame looks like, and then we'll go back and outline in those time frames each one that they have recommended. So the first area under vision and long-range planning, they recommended that we go through what's called a community visioning. This process is where a community would define the future way they would like to see the county grow economically. It's a citizen-led process that provides a foundation which to build a long-range plan for, and it focuses on areas where there is disagreement or unclear direction, whether it's between citizens, the multiple jurisdictions we have here in the county, or any other group that would be in disagreement on those visionings. Second, they recommended that we look at adopting or starting to adopt some sort of long-range plan. This would be following the development of the community vision, where we'd incorporate existing plans and strategies, such as our local foods plan, our climate change initiative, the hazard mitigation plan that we have, just to name a few, within an overall framework for growth and development of Story County. General areas of long-range plans would include land use and growth opportunities, downtown revitalization, business retention and expansion, ag preservation, housing and historic preservation, transportation, public works, food systems and public health, park, trails and recreation, natural resources, and hazard mitigation. Going into the next area, the strategic partnerships investment, this is the one where we did receive, I think, a vast majority of our recommendations. They first recommended that we start looking at some partnerships that the county can make. The county could offer a service to economic development organizations and chambers, boards, and committees, and they could also develop an outreach program to develop relationships with non-traditional partners. Those non-traditional partners would include the Farm Bureau, some community foundations, Iowa State Extension. There's many in Story County. Another area that they recommend we look at is something called economic gardening. This is where you would develop a comprehensive outreach program to begin building bonds between government and local entrepreneurs and businesses. They did mention that the strongest potential for job and economic advancement is in growing local entrepreneurs as opposed to recruiting businesses from an outside area. More or less what they're saying is if the local businesses that are currently in the county continue to grow, that's the type of economic development that they would favor over trying to bring in new businesses that, you know, sometime may fail down in the future. So, again, you keep those businesses that are currently in the county, keep them up and running. Focused leadership, they recommended that we would audit existing policies, plans, and budgeting processes and modify where necessary to meet the ideals of that vision that we first talked about in the first recommendation. Along with that, we'd adjust these policies to align with the community vision and any city agreements that we would make with the multiple jurisdictions. Looking at some infrastructure investments, they recommended a three-pronged approach to infrastructure investments that encourages economic development. That first prong would be to maximize existing infrastructure capacity. The second would be to coordinate public investments with focus growth plan. And the third would be to leverage new spending by pooling resources with other governments and private sector investments. They recommended that the county undertake a land inventory. This would be where the county and partners could create an overall inventory of underused and vacant industrial and commercial land. We'd identify sites that already receive infrastructure investments, as well as those that can receive extended services quickly and economically. Looking at a growing in versus a growing out, this is where we would do zoning audits, for zoning codes of the cities within the county as well as the county zoning codes. Look at these to maybe ensure parking requirements are not precluding private investment and closely reflect actual parking demands. Also that our downtowns in the multiple cities that we have that do allow for mixed-use developments on the main commercial areas. Looking at, again, some install development in partnership with the cities, we could rethink what constitutes potential development sites within the currently served areas. Again, looking at oversized parking lots, outdoor storage yards, and open grass spaces that are serving no landscaping or natural area function. Taking a look at the ISU Research Park and to work with Ames and the ISU Research Park to explore in-town opportunities for future expansion, in addition to considering infill opportunities in the current research park. They did note that currently some of the uses inside the research park could fit into an urban office environment. Looking at some of our downtown facades, the larger cities, we could conduct a facade study at least for the larger commercial blocks of those communities. They did note that the downtowns represent social infrastructure and define the image of economic health. The curb appeal has decreased on many downtown buildings throughout the county and in the various cities, and that we could possibly use the skills of the ISU Agricultural Department and their students to keep costs low and engage local university students. On that as well, they did recommend that we possibly could sponsor a facade painting program for any downtown area that would be willing to take advantage of that. In this scenario, we would provide they mentioned that clean, fresh facades can make an enormous difference in sense of place and local pride. We could offer staff coordination and possibly pay for the materials if and only if the volunteers came forward to do actual work on a significant amount of the downtown area. They recommend that we look at a capital improvement program. We could work on a combined multi-year strategy for capital investments and for infrastructure. This would reach beyond the county engineer's five-year road plan. In this, we could create criteria that aim to address economic development goals in addition to the traditional needs of health, safety, and welfare. The areas that we would look at would include roads, parks, trails, open space areas, and utility systems that would provide the necessary foundation for economic growth. And also looking at a strategic investment plan, this would be used as a method to formalize implementation of the vision, especially growth opportunity areas. It would include coordinating the county capital improvement program with planned city capital projects, utility plans, and other anticipated public investments. Getting into that third area, the trails, recreation, and quality of life issues. One of the bigger things that came out of this, I think, was them recommending that we look at a trails and recreation master plan. Look at a possibility of the county creating a network of trails that would connect to regional systems and position Surrey County as a recreational destination. They recommend that we bridge gaps in existing trails and connect all the cities in the county through a trail network. And when looking at this, also consider the tourism and alternative attractions that come with such a thing, and consider an appointment of a trails commission. Looking at local foods, they just mainly recommended here that since the Board of Supervisors has passed the strategic action plan for the local foods plan, they recommend a continued effort to include local foods in the broader economic development and long-range plans. While working with local farmers to support their efforts to sell and market their products to local consumers. Looking at energy efficiency, looking at an adoption of building codes, they mentioned this was to be instrumental in achieving energy efficiency in Story County. Those building codes could include energy codes and have standards for windows, insulation, other design and construction elements that are critical to energy performance. May also reduce insurance premiums for the county for both owners and provide assurance to buyers and sellers that the product they are buying and selling is safe. Looking again at energy efficiency, they did recommend a unified marketing campaign to address energy efficiency for all residences and businesses, something that we could possibly partner with the city staff, economic development organizations, Iowa State University, and DMAC to provide information possibly about rebate and incentive programs and to target existing buildings, new appliances, our equipment, and weatherization. Looking at renewable energy, reviewed county codes regarding wind and solar energy production. They recommend that we possibly revise our land development regulations to allow for the installation of wind energy conversion systems in residential and commercial areas to serve localized small-scale energy needs, and to possibly research opportunities for commercial solar fields and residential solar panels. Moving on to county planning organization, they did recommend that we provide assistance to local cities to coordinate and provide technical assistance where necessary. Some partnerships may be advisory or supportive, while others may require a more active role. Communities can leverage power for greater resources, and the small municipalities, especially those with limited staff resources, would greatly benefit from something like this. They did mention that services could be expanded to include a full suite of planning and development services and GIS and infrastructure advisement. They did recommend that we rename our department from the Story County Planning and Zoning Department to the Story County Planning and Development Department. And as you're all well aware, we did undertake that initiative, so that one has been accomplished already. That was something that we were planning on doing even prior to this report coming out. Some streamlining opportunities. They did recommend that we look at merging the Zoning Board of Adjustment with the Planning and Zoning Commission.
taking a reorganized body, making that, it should also be renamed, they said, to reflect the departmental name change, and to create a single point of contact for applicants that would streamline the process and make it very customer-friendly. That particular person should have access to all related departments and review bodies and assist the customer throughout the process. They mentioned that this could ease customer apprehension with the process and facilitate interdepartmental cooperation. And they did recommend that we look at adding some sort of economic development coordinator. It would be a full-time position to support the increased economic development responsibilities and the steps recommended in this plan. They did note a few of the functions that they did see that position serving, which I've listed on the screen here above. And then just kind of a summary of that time frame that they provided. You hopefully saw that at the end of the bottom of each of those slides, but those quick action steps that they want us to take, quick being within 6 months, to look at a strategic economic development entity partnership with the cities and all the jurisdictions within the county, that downtown facade painting program, looking at our alternative energy codes, and the symbolic restructuring of our department. The quick to short time frame, which was within 1 year, they recommended that we kick off and administer the community visioning and start our county outreach program. Again, within 1 year, to look at the industrial commercial land inventory, the infill development strategy within the cities, the research park technical assistance, and then look at that economic development coordinator position. The recommendations that they recommended within 4 years was the energy efficiency, the unified marketing campaign, the zoning audit, the county capital improvement program, and the establishment of county building codes. Also in that was to develop the community vision plan, the coordinated long-range plan, and the city agreements, to start our economic gardening program, to do an economic development audit of all county policies and plans, to do the downtown facade architectural study, and to start the trails master plan. The ones that were about 1 to 5+ years was the strategic investment plan and the combination of the Planning and Zoning Commission and the Board of Adjustment. And, yeah, those were all of them right there. So with that, just our next steps, really, we brought this to the board that what they asked us to do was to set up a roundtable meeting with all the stakeholders that were present at that initial meeting. That's going to take place actually next Monday in this room at 8:30 in the morning. If any of the Planning and Zoning Commission members want to attend that, I would imagine they would all be invited. Any of you would be invited to step into that process and discuss the plan with us on the Board of Supervisors. If you want to attend, just let us know. Just drop us an email, and we'll make sure that we have adequate arrangements for everybody. So with that, hopefully I didn't bore you completely to death with all this stuff, but if there's any questions on any of it, I'll try my best to answer it based off what we've been able to gather to this.
When that group was here last October, did they have the opportunity to meet with most of the city councils in the small towns?
What we did in the stakeholders meeting is we invited each of the mayors for the city and I think the city clerks and the mayors were all invited to be portions of the stakeholder group meetings. To be honest, not all of them attended. Some of them did send city council members in their place. But, you know, overall, I think we had pretty good turnout and a pretty good representation, maybe not from every city, but with the different dynamics we have in the cities and the county with, you know, population, I think we did have a good representation from some of the very big cities and some of the very small cities. So.
What are you guys going to do in your spare time?
With this, or in general? Since we're not doing this anymore, you mean?
How's the, one of the big things that looked like the first things was kind of putting together the visioning process. And how would, I saw some of the recommendations. They said, well, it could be an outside facilitator. It could be somebody from the staff or a hybrid of that. Are there plans on how that might happen?
See, we haven't really looked too far in. Again, we presented these recommendations to the board. Their first step, the first thing they said with it, I think, Nancy, you were at that meeting, they wanted to sit everybody down. I think they're interested in this, but they understand at the same time that to accomplish something like this, we have to have the cooperation of pretty much every jurisdiction in the county, and we have to have buy-in from them. So the point in the meeting next Monday is to really try to garnish what that level of buy-in is on this plan. And from there, I think we would move forward on that. You know, as far as if we were to get into that process of the visioning, you know, I think from staff, we've always kind of been in favor of some sort of facilitator when it comes to that, just because it does take us out of the process. And, you know, again, we work here. Sometimes we have some biased opinions on it, and it's really good to get that outside voice in the process. So,
I saw some documents that were signed by various cities. What was that? That was buy-in to this whole thing, wasn't it?
I'm not sure what documents.
I'd have to go back and look. I know that there was one by Gilbert and Nevada, and didn't that have to do with CFAT?
I mean, yeah, as far as, like, multi-jurisdictional cooperation, Leanne did mention we've had the hazard mitigation one, which I think is probably the biggest one that we have. We're more or less at that point. I think we had every city, every jurisdiction in the county other than Ames and ISU agree to this plan, although it was kind of unique to some of the cities that it was just one huge combination of a plan. But we also have the Ames Urban Fringe Plan 2080 agreement. That's with Story County, Gilbert, and the City of Ames. That's another one that we've had with some multi-jurisdictional cooperation. So,
what feeling have you gotten from the various cities in terms of cooperation and moving forward with visioning and all of the recommendations? What feedback have you folks gotten?
Initially, when we first started this process, I would honestly say it was pretty negative. It was almost like the county was trying to step on people's feet and, you know, show who's boss or something like that. I don't know why it was so negative, but I think with this whole thing, as it played out, as we had all the stakeholder group meetings, and as this report, as people have read the report, I would say that it's definitely turned to more of the positive side based off what we've been able to gather to this point. But again, you know, we're talking with, you know, right now, I think the ones that we've mainly been working with, we've been trying to work with everybody, but the ones that we've heard the feedback from have really been the larger cities right now, and it'll be interesting to see, especially at this meeting we have next Monday, if some of the smaller cities also buy into it too. So, because, you know, the plan, I don't know if it necessarily speaks to it, but what we were able to gather and, you know, just kind of reading this, I think what they're getting at is, you know, they're saying, you look at the four larger cities in the county being Ames, Nevada, Story City, and Huxley, they've really kind of, you know, they've got a good grasp on economic development, and they know what they're doing, and they have the staff in place to do it. But once you get past those four, it's those cities that could really use, you know, some assistance to get up and running. And, you know, one of the things that Steve had mentioned that it kind of stuck with me is, you know, like a bed and breakfast, for example, in the city of Colo could have the same impact on the city of Colo as Barilla does on the city of Ames. So you've got to remember that, and you know why some economic development projects, you know, you like the big ones, those small ones can really make a big difference in some of the smaller cities. So it'll be, that's what I said, that they mentioned how we could have, you know, if we're actually starting to help out some of these cities on more of a small scale basis, you know, maybe from a staff standpoint, we'd really work hard with those smaller cities while just maybe providing some support to the larger cities because, again, they really already have a good grasp on what they're doing.
It's kind of exciting to hear him talk about the new trail that goes over the bridge, you know, what it could do for Slater as far as bed and breakfast and stuff like that. So,
yeah, that was with that public input meeting we had on that Monday night, that was a big talking point in that public meeting, was how the trail system, especially for, you know, the Des Moines area, and now with that high trestle trail, how it does kind of hug the southwest corner of the county down there, and the impact that's had on Slater and Shelville and all those other cities it goes through. So,
visioning, I can see why you'd want an arbitrator in that, because The reality is that it's going to take a tremendous amount of diplomacy to bring the major players together. Because, unfortunately, we have attitude, unfortunately, among some of our major players. And to present and to develop a countywide vision that is good for all, it's going to take a bunch. And I can see why you'd want an arbitrator for that. Although I do believe that you folks need to be involved.
I think we'd definitely be involved in it. I'm speaking for our department here, but I don't think we'd like to run the process and be the ones that try to, you know, work the negotiation pieces of it. So, because you're right, yeah, I mean, the biggest thing, and they said this throughout it as well, is another thing is, you know, large business coming to the city of Ames could affect every single city as far as residential development. So you've got to remember that, you know, what's good for Ames is good for Story County, what's good for Colo is good for Story County.
Any other questions or comments? Nick? Nancy? David? David? Nancy? Okay. I think it's kind of exciting. So Monday, 8:30, right here. You can make it. Okay? Good deal. That's about 3 hours scheduled in that, I think, isn't it? Two and a half?
Two and a half, yep.
Okay. Good.
Hopefully we get some great discussion going on that.
And the people being invited to that are, is it all the same, like the different city representatives, municipalities?
Which I think we invited a total, I would say, of how many mailings did we send out on it? 100, probably over 100 people that we invited. I don't think our RSVP, the people that we've heard back from now, has not been that many, but hopefully as the week goes on, we'll get more people. I'm sure we'll send a few reminders out this week as well, too, to see who's coming. So, again, if any of you, any of the commission would like to come, we'd love it. So.
Okay. Thank you, Charlie. Appreciate it. Other business. Anything from long-range planning updates? Is that a no? Okay. So, I assume you're getting up to talk about follow-up items here. So then we're at commission comments. We'll go around the table here. Nick, anything?
No, I like to see the reports and things. I think there's been some efforts that way, and it's good to see something that I think we can circle some people around and get some actions going on. So I appreciate all the work staff's done to get us to that point.
Nancy?
I can only imagine the amount of hours it took to go through this and cross out every little... That must have taken a lot of dedication, and so just wanted to know I recognize that.
Dave?
I'm going to echo the first two comments.
And Dave? Answer?
I've always known that you guys were amazing, so do I need to say more?
Same here. Thanks for your work in cleaning that up. And for working along with the CPAT here, I think that'll be kind of exciting. So with that, staff comments.
I don't know how many. I just have a few things. I don't know how many of you know that our staff, the Government Restructuring Committee, that was appointed by the Board of Supervisors. It's a committee of 7 members that was appointed last May and June. To no hold barred look at Story County government from the top to the bottom and develop a set of recommendations of what could be changed, what's working, what's not. They're looking at everything from possibly increase the number of board members from 3 to 5 to addressing secondary roads, gravel issues to number of patrolmen out in the county. Almost every topic you can think of has been broached in one means or another. I just bring that up because that is actually taking some of our staff time. And I want you to keep that in mind as where the extra time is going to be filled. They'll be filled by there. but I want you to be aware of a couple of things. There is a meeting meeting coming up in Ames on March 5th. That's a Monday. I won't be here. Do we have any? I'll be first on your agenda, and then I'll be leaving to get over to Ames for that meeting. So I may be asking you, depending on the nature of our agenda, maybe move meeting up till 5, just so I can make sure I don't get a speeding ticket between here and Ames. But that will be publicized live on Channel 12. We'll actually have people be able to call in. It's the last of 6 public input sessions they've held in different communities. Attendance has been relatively low, and some people said that's because of apathy, as was mentioned down in Huxley. You're not able to get the word out, or wintertime, a number of varieties of issues. So meeting on March 5th. The other thing I want to mention is there's a questionnaire. We're not calling it a survey because it's been a statistically valid instrument, but a questionnaire that's been developed that will be put on the website. Well, it is on our website right now. On just different services offered by Story County. So I would encourage you all to go out there and fill it out. It's just using SurveyMonkey, so I think you can do it anonymously. That's what's not statistically valid because we cannot control the population that's taking the questionnaire. But it is under, if you go to the, on the county's homepage, there's a little paint, planning and development. If I'm still guilty, you call, I say planning and zoning, this is Leanne. I get one out of every 6 times right. And I'm like, on a good day.
It'll change.
Take me 13 more years. But on the county's homepage, there's a pink button called the Government Restructuring Committee. Click on there, and right then it'll pop up a little picture of a sort of like a check mark, and you'll see right to your left, click here. We're also going to, by this Friday, or I guess next Monday is what we're shooting for, having several copies distributed on city libraries and city halls for them to, general public can go in there, and we'll ask them to collect them, and then we'll go pick them up. They'll be out there till March 15th. So it's just a way to get some additional feedback from county residents, and even, you know, non-county residents, since we can't control the population. I already mentioned the changing in our staff positions. I won't delve into that too much, other than a couple of things are going along with that. We'll be evaluating current positions we have. Losing halftime of Kristen is going to be cause internally some changes that we all need to address, the two planner positions and myself. Simple things like taking minutes. Not only will Kristen possibly be responsible for minutes for the Planning and Zoning Commission Board of Adjustment, but also the Board of Health. So if all those entities were to meet as scheduled, that'd be 30 evening meetings a year. So there are some things that we need to address with that. So just bring that up, that some things, some standard operating procedures may have to be changed internally. But to go along with the staff changes, we also are having some physical changes occurring in our office. We have 3 vacant offices, including our conference room. Those will be, we're going to have roommates. We're going to have the health department move over and share our office space with us. We're not combining departments by any means, but we are sharing a physical location, one that will assist Kristen as she's 50-50 for both positions. So we're going to have some growing pains, I think, it's fair to say, because we are going to be 7 people in a kind of constricted area with lots of files that we've done away with. So, but if you come to visit us, maybe when we get everything set, we'll have an open house, and we'll go forward from there. That's all I have.
That's it, huh?
Yeah, well, okay.
Pardon?
Give me a chance to breathe. The reason we brought CPAP before you two is a year ago when Supervisor Sanders put an economic development proposal on the table, I was asked, and our department was asked, to respond to it with some ideas. And one of the things that really came to light, both in his proposal as well as staff review, that there needs to be an entity that will help coordinate this in addition to staff, or not be the overseer, but be like a bouncing board. The natural entity was the Planning and Zoning Commission. So that's why we're trying to keep you up to date on this. I mean, you're not just dealing with zoning issues. Your planning is part of your name, and economic development is an arm of planning. So your role, you're going to go along the route with us, too. You'll be changing, too, possibly next year on down. So that will be adding economic development as one of those long-range planning activities for you. And we may have an update, or we may not, but that's why you're hearing that.
Okay.
That's it.
Announcement of the future meeting, I guess it's March 5th, right? And tell me about 5 o'clock. Does that work out okay for everybody?
I don't see a problem with it.
Would earlier be better yet? I don't know if that'll work or not, but...
The Government Restructuring Committee meeting at 7 o'clock in Ames. The public input meeting.
I think I hear Nick saying 5 o'clock is about the limit.
Or I can't go any sooner than 4:30, but I can probably make 5 work. So.
And that extra half an hour would allow me that extra wiggle room staff time. I'll just make sure when we put the agenda together, the changes to LDR are first. And right now that we have a subdivision too. So it's a relatively light agenda, but again, we have that 35-acre discussion. I want to make sure we have adequate time. If we don't, it may ask you just to continue it to the next meeting too, so we can have that conversation.
Okay. Who'll be leading that discussion? Will you be leading that to start off with and then go on? Okay.
Unless you want to.
No, remember I'd written I will be gone, living on vacation. So Nancy has been waiting for this. So, okay, 5 o'clock then on the 5th. Okay. Very good. Motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Okay, moved and seconded. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. We are adjourned. Thanks.